Dear Cheap Astronomy, How Did the Planets Come to Be Where They Are? Part 2. In the previous episode, we went through the currently favoured, but by no means settled theory of the early days of the solar system, which proposed that Jupiter migrated into about where Mars is, but then migrated back out again after interacting with Saturn, which had followed it. In this episode, we'll look at the evidence for that hypothesis, known as the Grand Tack, where it's best to say that all the evidence for it is circumstantial and much of it is still being contested. One strong supportive finding for the Grand Tack comes from our observation of exoplanet systems, where we found lots of hot Jupiters orbiting very close to their stars. These gas giants must have formed further out, since further out is where all the gas is in any protoplanetary disk. So those hot Jupiters must have migrated inwards after their formation, which does make sense where the ongoing collisions involved in the accretion of a protoplanet will tend to slow it down and decay its orbit. It's only when the protoplanetary disk is mostly being cleared out that planets can adopt stable orbits like the ones we see now in our mature solar system. Gas giant planet formation does seem almost inevitable in any stellar system, since any protoplanetary disk will have lots of hydrogen that will mostly be pushed to its outskirts by stellar wind, and only a large protoplanetary mass of 5 to 10 Earth masses can actually hang on to that hydrogen, so any gas planets will tend to form in the outskirts and be giants. But having formed while they're still in a protoplanetary disk, such gas giants will tend to spiral in, either to their destruction in their star or to a closer stable orbit if the disk gets cleared out first. So, while it's a bit of a circular argument, the fact that we have a Jupiter that's not hot is consistent with the idea that if it did first migrate in, then it must have reversed back out again. The small size of Mars is also considered circumstantial evidence. While we have the Earth and then Venus at roughly similar sizes, after that there's a small Mars, and then the asteroid belt, and then the gas giants. This arrangement is consistent with the idea that Jupiter had previously moved into that region, either sucking up or flinging out lots of material, so there wasn't that much left behind for Mars's formation. The asteroid belt is also a puzzle, with a mix of rocky but also icy objects, as though one population was pushed out from the warm inner solar system and the other population was pushed in from the icy outer solar system. There's also some somewhat inexplicable features beyond the asteroid belt, notably where Neptune and Uranus are currently in positions that just shouldn't have had enough protoplanetary disk material to form planets of their size. So presumably, they both formed closer into the Sun and subsequently migrated out, presumably pushed out by Jupiter and Saturn's Grand Tack. Beyond all that, Grand Tack proponents appeal to computer modelling, where it's very difficult to get from the assumed initial conditions of the early Sun and its protoplanetary disk to today's particular alignment of planets without some kind of substantial disruption having taken place, and the Grand Tack seems the most plausible disruption scenario that anyone has come up with so far. And that is kind of it. It is all totally circumstantial evidence, and one of the most evidential bits of that evidence, the craters and mare on the Moon, allegedly arising from the late heavy bombardment that was initiated by all the gas giants' movements, is an idea that's currently falling out of favour, since it largely relies on a few scant Apollo samples, all of which do date to about 3.9 billion years ago, the alleged time frame of the late heavy bombardment. But that could just be a coincidence that will come unstuck once we start collecting a wider set of samples from other lunar sites. We can say with certainty that there must have been a particular sequence of events that got us to where we are today. Maybe it's not the Grand Tack, but who knows, maybe it is. In any case, the Grand Tack is currently a good working model that guides further analysis in this area. So even if the Grand Tack is not the answer, it is a step forward on the journey to one.